This morning, we're continuing our study of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And this prayer is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most extensive teachings, especially on what it means to be in the kingdom, what it means to be a disciple. And this morning, we get to the phrase, "Your will be done," or "Thy will be done," as we often pray it. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer, that phrase that we've come to today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the prayer of a disciple. Casual onlookers or just curious bystanders, they're not going to pray, thy will be done. There are a lot of people who are interested in Jesus who had for various reasons, is he a miracle worker? Is he a prophet? But only a disciple, only someone willing to follow wholeheartedly can pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this prayer, though, the Lord's Prayer, I've been so encouraged just spending the past month or so in it. And if you're making very little progress in prayer, the Lord's Prayer is where to go. We only move beyond it if we stay within it. A friend of mine I reached out to this week, Jed, he lives in Ukraine. He's from Oregon. He moved to Ukraine 11 years ago with his family, and they introduced our family to Slavic. They went there to help boys who are in institutions to provide a home for them. And so I was talking with Jed a little bit, and Liam spent some time in Jed's home as well and told him we were studying this, the Lord's Prayer. And he's like, oh, that's so good. He said, I have spent, he did the math. He said, I think the last 26 years of my life, I have lived in the Lord's Prayer. I perked up. I thought, what do you mean by that? He said, well, keep studying it. You'll see what I mean. And he's only like 46 years old. So I'm intrigued. And he's like, well, since you guys are a mega church, why don't you fly me out and I'll tell you everything I've learned. And but that was his comment, that you only move beyond it when you stay within it, which is to say you just live in it. It's these, not just the words themselves, not just mechanically only say these phrases, but these principles that Jesus is teaching us. And we pay special attention to the phrases because he was intentional in what he's unfolding for us. But he said this prayer has helped him not in his prayer life, but it's made him a person of prayer. It's made him be able to abide more fully in Christ by meditating on these phrases, getting a deeper understanding of what our Lord intended in this prayer as a way of drawing near. He said when he first started praying, since the Lord telling him, spend more time with me in prayer. And so what he knew to do was to make a prayer list. And so he said, I had a list of, grandmother's knee, she's having surgery and these different things. And he said, and yes, come to the Lord with those things. But he said, I really quickly realized, I think the Lord intends something else. And this prayer is the way that we enter into a kingdom life, to become new citizens. If we think of the gospel primarily as a proposition that we should believe, then that's fairly limited. But in the Sermon on the Mount, especially, we have Jesus unpacking, this is what it means to be a disciple, to be an apprentice, to enter into lifelong following and learning from Jesus. Then that is going to require discipleship. And so this is the prayer of a disciple, your will be done. This is the prayer that makes operative in our lives all of Jesus' teaching. Again, you can be a casual observer and kind of listen with interest to the things Jesus is saying. Okay, that you're bringing some interesting ideas to our ears. But if you want to enter into the life he has for us, then we have to move to your will be done. And in the process, we become a disciple, a student, an apprentice learning to do things that Jesus would do in the same way that Jesus would do them if he were in your circumstances today. And so Jesus is pretty clear that thy will be done can only be prayed by a disciple. There's other places he talks in Matthew. He says, a teacher of the law came to him, said, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, we don't come to Jesus with our own ideas and agendas and ask him to bless them. But a disciple comes and says, Lord, what is your will? I will follow. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The thing about this prayer, your will be done, is that it leads to a cross. It did for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, Lord, if it would be your will, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but your will be done. And that's where it led for him. And the same way for us, if anyone would come after me, Jesus says he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Some of you are doing the rule of the small cross, a kind of a communal Lenten exercises. And part of that is holding the cross, wearing the cross visibly in a way that it might provoke conversation with people. And Matt has developed this reflection on what does it mean to wear the cross? What does it mean to boast in the cross? And this is the declaration. I take up this cross as a symbol of Christ's perfect sacrifice, that dying with Christ, I may be raised with Christ, that being unashamed of Christ, I might bear witness to his goodness, that through Christ, I might be obedient to everything the Father commands. It's the crux of the matter here. And following Christ's example, I might live as a humble servant to all through the power of the Holy Spirit. This prayer inevitably leads to a cross. Jesus said in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Ultimately, either we say to the Lord, your will be done, or he says to us, your will be done. Tozer, in his book, I think, was it Knowing God? He says that the cross is painful and it is deadly, but it is effective. It will put to death in us those things that cannot live, those things that cannot endure for eternity. And so this is a prayer of submission. But it does open the door for God's word to become operative in my life, for all of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom to actually take root in me. In Luke 8, where Jesus tells the parable of the sower, he's describing what the different seed, what the seed represents and the different types of soil. And then when he turns to the good soil, he says the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So that's the difference in this good soil. They hear the word, they've got a good heart, they hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. In other words, they hear the teaching of Jesus, and they're not saying, yeah, I don't know about that one. That's going to interrupt some of how I do my life. But they say, that one stings a little bit, but thy will be done. And that is good soil, and it's going to produce a crop. Because if we look back in this prayer, your will be done, it follows right on the heels of this phrase, your kingdom come. The effective rule and reign of God. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace. Shalom. Things ordered as they should be for our flourishing. And the primary way that God brings about his kingdom is through his people who say, thy will be done. It's what his son did. His son willingly submitted to the Father's plans and for the joy set before him, endured the cross. And so this is what God still uses to build his kingdom. People who are willing to say, thy will be done. And these people are, to the world, crazy. They're people who forgive, actually forgive. They don't just say it, but they bear the cost. When someone wrongs them, they forgive and they don't hold bitterness. They don't let that root of bitterness come in. Just think about that. That's wild to the world. These are people who say, they get let your yes be yes and your no be no. But we all know, I mean, it's sometimes you can let, you know, you can kind of tweak that. You can sort of spin things a little bit depending on your audience. No, these are people who say yes is yes, no is no. These are people who aren't motivated by their anger. These are people who don't store up treasures for themselves on earth where moth and rust destroy, but they're storing up for themselves treasures in heaven. These are otherworldly kind of people. But these are people who are live in the real world of actual relationships. They're married to actual spouses who do things that make them scratch their head. Why would they do that? And yet they still love them, bear with them. They submit, respect, outdo one another in showing honor to one. That's what these kind of people do, because God's word, Jesus' teaching on the kingdom, has become operative in them. They've opened the door for his word to take root by saying, thy will be done. And so we ask, well, then what is God's will? Well, from this prayer, this is the Son teaching us how we approach the Father. We look back, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The Son is teaching us that the Father's will is to be known for who he is and for the world to know who he is, that he is good, that his character is trustworthy. Because there can be no communion with God if he is misunderstood. So his name is to be hallowed, revered, and honored. So these first three petitions are grand and glorious. Our Father in the heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet Jesus is teaching us to pray this prayer. This is the prayer to the words to come from our lips. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does the Lord require of me? Well, we're not left to wonder. We know from Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Or Jesus' response to the question, what is the greatest commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then he went to a place in Leviticus. And he said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Here is the command of the Lord. Here is thy will being done. As it relates to you, what is it that the Lord requires of me? Now, Rich Mullins, a singer, songwriter that I've appreciated his perspective on a lot of things. People used to come to him because he had a unique kind of prophetic sort of ability of teaching and opening up things in ways people hadn't considered before. And people would often ask him, like, how do I know what God's will is for me specifically? And he responded, God's will is that you love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and also that you love your neighbor as yourself. Get busy with that. And if God wants you to do something unusual, he'll take care of it. Say, for example, he wants you to go to Egypt. If that's the case, he'll provide 11 jealous brothers and they'll sell you into slavery. And so it is, that thy will be done. It may entail things we've not expected, even things we would not choose. And yet the Lord is using these things to work out, bring about his kingdom for his glory and for our good. So we love the Lord, get busy with that, and then trust that God's going to be directing our steps in the particulars of what do I study in school? Where do I go to college? Do I marry this person or not? Do I consider this? All these things. You know, Is that the end of the matter? But no, but it is the beginning. That is the foundation, to love the Lord your God. And then to find out what pleases the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, we read this, we make it our aim to please him. God is a person. He has desires, and we can find out things about a person that we want to love and to please. I let Psalm 119 says, your commandment is exceedingly broad. The ways that we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, the ways we can love our neighbor as ourselves, they are as broad as the horizon itself. The ways that we have to please him, to honor him, to show his trustworthiness. A couple things in particular we know about pleasing our God, using those same phrases, is from Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You want to please him? Believe in him, and believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. In Romans 8, we read that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So is your operating system all about the ways of the world, and or is it from the Spirit, a new way of thinking about the kingdom, this upside down view on almost everything? We can please him if we're walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, walk in the light and find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Walking in the light, staying in fellowship with other believers, knowing that there's blind spots and asking them for help to identify some of those things. And as painful as that may be, then letting the Lord do his work to remove those things or redeem whatever is in us that is not as it should be, like a mirror that's held up before us until we look more and more like his son, Jesus. This is true of any human relationship. We want to find out what pleases that other person and then seek to fulfill those things. So for this prayer, though, it's not so much about discerning God's will for me specifically as it is to do what it is that God has revealed, especially when what he has revealed pulls in the direction against my desires. My desires don't align with what is his will. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A living sacrifice. We may know that it's a familiar term, but think about that. A living sacrifice. Think about a burnt offering. A living animal on a burnt offering can just get up and walk away. It's going to be painful. But why wouldn't it just leave? But he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, because that's what it is like. It is a dying to self. Paul said that in Corinthians, I am dying daily myself. I have all these preferences. I have these desires. And yet what the Lord requires of me, it is like a death to the flesh, to the self that is not in accord yet with all that God desires of me. And this is actually the way of life. So you think, again, go back to Joseph. God provides 11 jealous brothers to sell you into slavery. As a slave in Egypt, he knew that God's will was not to be the wife, to be with the wife of another man. When Potiphar's wife came to him later on, once his brothers revealed themselves, or he reveals himself to his brothers, he knew it wasn't his place to exact vengeance on his brothers. He could have, but he knew that what they intended for evil, God was working out for good. Joseph was an example of one praying, thy will be done. That had to feel like a living sacrifice in those moments, a burnt offering. But he was dying daily to his own preferences in order to pray, thy will be done. And so this is either Mother Teresa or Elizabeth Elliot. I don't know which dear saint lady I remember hearing it from, but one of them said this: most of us don't need more of God's will to be revealed. We just need to be obedient to what he has already revealed. So praying, thy will be done in my life and then around me. It's a logical following of your kingdom come, praying, Lord, let it be done in my life and in the areas where I have influence, on earth as it is in heaven. That phrase, as it is in heaven. Just consider, the angels stand ready to do whatever the Lord commands them to do, to be dispatched at a moment. Are not angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They are ready to do whatever the Lord requires. And this is a prayer. Lord, make me ready. Make me a fit instrument, especially when it goes against my will, especially when it's costly and it runs against my agenda, my ideas. In Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis, there's a section where he talks about time. Make this guy think that he is the rightful owner of every 24 hours. And it's a burden if he has to give up anything. That's one of those books, if you read it, it's deeply convicting because it reveals some of the enemy's tactics of how he would try to. That's one that I'm especially susceptible to, that my time. Well, this is mine. Is it really? And then the author of that letter, he's saying, you know, it sounds really funny, you know, because only the Lord can rightfully say mine about anything. Others are just stewards. So it sounds funny to hear people say, oh yeah, that's my Saturday, my whatever it is. But a disciple is one who says, releases the my and says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus is the model here, who in Gethsemane, about to face the cross, asked, if it be your will, take this cup from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Because he knew that he was facing the cross, and on the cross, as Peter read from Corinthians about God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And so the Father turns his face away so that by us embracing the cross he has for us, the Father lifts up his face toward us. We will not be cast aside. We are welcomed. And so this prayer, it's impossible to pray it if we don't believe, first of all, that he is good. Our Father in heaven. Our Father, Jesus praying this, meaning we come by means of the big brother Jesus who came for us, the one who pursued us, not like in the prodigal son, the older brother who stayed behind. This is the older brother who left that all to find us and to bring us to the Father. So when we pray, our Father, the one who loves us personally and perfectly, his perspective is perfect, he's in the heavens. Hallowed be your name. He wants to be known for who he is. Do we believe that he is good and that he is for us, and that anything that we face in bearing the cross, it's also for our good? If not, there's no way that we'll ever pray, thy will be done. We might step our toe in the water just a little bit, but we'll never enter into the life that God has. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. We love because he loved us first. He is our Father in the heavens. Those who have a desire to see his name, the highest aim of the universe is to know him in truth and for his name to be hallowed. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So if you desire for God's word to take root in your life, for the kingdom to become operative in your relationships, at your house, your roommates, your friends, your decision-making at the smallest level or the grandest, then pray, thy will be done, especially when that's pulling against the grain of everything else in us that wants to go a different direction. And if we do, we'll find, be able to pray, like we sang in this opening song, would I gladly be made nothing, that Christ would be made more? Would I seek the only kingdom that far outweighs them all? I will stand before my Father where the faithful saints have stood, and with joy my heart shall praise him for his glory and my good. So our Father in heaven, as we see your name hallowed and desire that it may be more and more, we want your kingdom to come, and we want to be the people who willingly say, your will be done, who trust in your purposes, whatever they are, for your glory and for our good. Help us, Lord, to pray, thy will be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.